bringing back classic cowboy country, and here today talking with Y95 and Laramie Live, it's Chancey Williams. How are you doing today, Chancey?
Good. How's it going today?
Oh, it's great. We have the snow melts, so it's actually starting to look nice today in Wyoming.
I know, it's finally starting to turn, I know.
Yep. So you're in Nashville right now, right?
Yep, flew down last night. We're just getting some stuff ready for the weekend. We're playing the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday, so came down to do a few things today.
I mean, it would make sense you'd want to get kind of comfortable there, because Grand Ole Opry is like the most important stage in country music. I mean, you're about to perform where like Chris LeDoux and Garth Brooks and George Strait have stood. So how are you feeling?
Well, it's pretty neat. You know, I mean, the Grand Ole Opry is, you know, a huge thing in country music for sure, you know, and it's super special to anybody that's played it. You know, there's not been a lot of people from Wyoming get to play the Opry, you know, and, you know, Chris obviously played it and Ned's played it, and Ian Munzik, you know, and I think me, and there's probably some more we're missing, but there's not, you know, over the test of time, there's not been a lot of Wyoming people play the Grand Ole Opry just because it's more of a kind of a southern Nashville thing, but so we're sure honored to be asked to play there. You know, it's one of those things where we have to be invited to play the Opry. So, you know, it means a lot to me and the band to get asked to play it because, you know, we've played a long time and we've kind of earned the music business the hard way, which is fine. You know, we love that we have to kind of craft for every inch of this thing. But, you know, dates like the Grand Ole Opry really mean a lot because it just shows our hard work is paying off and it's fun to get recognized at somewhere like the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, and like, I think you captured perfectly a little bit of Wyoming there, too, because we're not afraid of hard work, and we kind of prefer to have to earn our way. It's kind of a Wyoming thing, you know?
Yeah, you know, like my parents, you know, ranched their whole life, and, you know, they started with nothing, bought a ranch in 1985, so I learned from my folks that, you know, you can kind of do anything, but, you know, nobody's ever going to hand you nothing, so you kind of got to earn it the hard way, which we've done in music, which you know, I tell people all the time, you know, sometimes for artists it happens a lot faster and or whatever, or a lot easier. And, you know, I don't know if it means as much. And I guess I'm not some of those artists' shoes, but for us, we know that, like, dates getting to play, like, the Opry, and to us, like, playing dates like Cheyenne Frontier Days, like, Frontier Days is, like, our Grand Ole Opry of the West. So, like,
yeah. Like
when you get to play certain dates like that, it's super rewarding knowing that you earned it the hard way and nobody handed it to you. So it's those high profile days are super special to us.
Yeah. And I will say one of the things I love about your music is it's not auto-tuned. It's country music the way it always has been. It's not mixing in any of that pop. It's country life in music. So I think
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's kind of the way we've always done it. You know, we didn't know, you know, there's not a huge music scene in Wyoming. So growing up, me and the band, you know, we didn't really have anybody to compare ourselves to other than, like, you know, Chris LeDoux and stuff. Because, like, he was, like, one of the only people at that time that had, you know, played on that level of country music. So, like, we didn't really know who to compare ourselves to. So we've always kind of sounded this way. We're super country. You know, there was an era of country music that did get pretty pop and still kind of is. And to each their own, that's, you know, that just doesn't work for us. You know, our fans know us for being cowboys from Wyoming, and that's who we are. And, you know, we don't have to, you know, I feel like sometimes artists kind of put on a show of somebody that they're not, you know, in music. But we're just who we are. You know, we know everybody in Wyoming, and they know us. So if we were to come out with songs that are considered, you know, modern day country, you know, our fans would probably turn on us out west. So we're who we are. We're super authentic. Yeah. We're Wyoming cowboys. We sing songs about ranching, rodeos, and the western way of life. So, you know, it's just who we are.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, being authentic, it's, I think, part of what makes your music so great. I saw you, I think it was an interview with People maybe, but you had mentioned that your music is your life. Like, you put yourself into it, you put Wyoming into it. It's not a generic country song that can fit any country, state, or city. You just, right. It's Wyoming. So
that's for sure. You know, the way the world has evolved, you know, with the last few years being crazy, you know, I feel like the world is always searching for these things with a whole bunch of authenticity in it, you know. So, like, I don't think it's more authentic than us. We're Wyoming ranch kids from the great state of Wyoming. So, like, we're not, like I said, not hiding anything who we are. But, you know, like with shows like Yellowstone, all these things come out.
Mm-hmm.
People from the cities want to connect with people like us, with people from, like people from Wyoming, you know. They want to live vicariously through our life and our songs. So, like, I think the timing has been really good for us for all the things that have been happening with the way the world is. And, you know, and like I said, we've never had to try to prove to anybody who we are. Everybody knows what we are, you know, by the songs we sing, by the way we are, by the way we look. So I think that the world likes is in search for those type of songs and that type of music right now.
Yeah, you're giving them a taste of a life that they can't experience in a big city.
For sure.
And, yeah, I know I read an article that, like, Stetsons and everything are going like hotcakes in New York City because of Yellowstone. So here in Wyoming, you don't have to worry about it because we already have one.
I know, it's funny. Like, even coming to Nashville, I come down here about 1 week a month, and, you know, I've seen the town change because of Yellowstone and stuff. People are like, oh man, nice hat. I'm like, is that a compliment? I was like, I've always looked like this. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, people are like, where'd you get your hat? I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's just Wyoming. You know, this is how we've always dressed. This is the way we've always looked. Now it's a new thing to, like, people from the city. So, like, it's funny to see, you know, Nashville change. But, I've been coming here for years, and, you know, 5-8 years ago, I was maybe the only guy in town wearing a hat. And so, like, now you see hats everywhere. And thanks to shows like Yellowstone, but, you know, I think it's a good thing that it brought the Western way of life and cowboys to the forefront again, where it's cool to be a cowboy again.
Yeah. You were a cowboy before it was cool.
Yeah. It was like, man, it's finally come back around where people are starting to dress like us.
Yeah, pretty soon they'll bring Hee-Haw back or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Me too. I used to watch it with my grandparents all the time. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you talked about how you had to work for your fame, you and the band. But your career really has taken off with the advent of Yellowstone and Western culture becoming cool again. But you've never really lost sight of your roots. Like, you stay close to Wyoming, and I'm just wondering, like, is there a way that you stay so close to Wyoming? You haven't gone and become a celebrity who's like, oh yeah, I'm from there. But you never come home. You're always back here.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, like, I like Nashville, and I always tell people if I'd have grown up somewhere, anywhere other than Wyoming, I may have just moved to Nashville and this would have been my home, but there's just something about Wyoming that, you know, I think keeps people humble and keeps people the way they are. Like, you know, everybody's like, don't turn into one of them big stars that forgets where you're from. Like, I don't think we could do that, you know. I grew up in Moorcroft, Wyoming, you know, like, a folks ranch up there is like, I don't know how else to be. And so I think all of us, you know, still based and out of Wyoming keeps us the way we are, you know. Like, we're, you know, people from Wyoming are generally super proud of their state. So, like, we get to play coast to coast year round. So, like, last week we were in California, and we're proud to represent where we're from. We tell everybody where we're from. So I think there's some sort of honor badge that we wear when we go to other states. People are like, where are you guys from? We're very proud to say that we're from Wyoming. So I think that keeps us grounded. And I guess is the way we were raised. I guess most of the band members were raised from, you know, Wyoming parents, and that's just the way we are. And so, like I said, I like Nashville and all, and I like traveling across the world, but it's so fun to come home. You know, usually we get to come home every week, but sometimes we're out for a month or whatever, but just to go back and regroup and either, you know, I have a house in Laramie, but I have a house in Moorcroft too. So that's home. Wyoming's always going to be home. And, you know, the music business, the way it is now with all the technology, you don't have to technically live in Nashville, which is super nice. I like it here for a few days, but it's really nice after a few days to fly back to the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Nashville's become like a bachelor, like, destination for parties. I mean, it's boomed from what I can see. So I can imagine you need to break from all those people.
They said it passed Las Vegas for the bachelorette party and for, you know, to go or whatever. But it is, we never really go downtown. Usually when we're in town, we're either writing or, you know, doing stuff. So we don't really see that as much, but you do see it some. But no, it sure is fun to be, you know, I don't know where my career would be if I was and grew up in Wyoming, you know, like I said, we wear it with a badge of honor anywhere we go. We love telling people where we're from, and usually half the people in the band are wearing some sort of UW gear, and so everybody knows.
Yes.
They don't ever have to guess where we're from. And, you know, people are like, you guys from Texas? And nothing to Texas, but we correct them real fast. We're like, no, we're from the Cowboys state.
307 Pride, y'all. Come on.
That's right.
That's awesome. Well, the next time you're in Laramie, we're going to have to, like, get a drink or something.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome.
We'll be like, oh, no, two redheads in a bar. This is the start of a joke.
That could be the start of a joke. I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all know that you grew up in Moorcroft. You were ranching. How did you end up doing music? Like, did you just one day pick up a guitar and were like, this is it?
Well, yeah, it's a funny story. So, you know, I grew up ranching, so like I always tell people, I know more about ranching and rodeo than I do music. I ended up in music, so like, you know, I started a band in high school just kind of for fun. It was kind of a side thing, but then I went to Casper College to ride saddle bronc and college rodeo to Casper College for 3 years and made the college national finals and went on to University of Wyoming and rodeoed there, made the college finals again, and stayed in Laramie. Finished my bachelor's, and then I went to grad school and finished my master's. But the whole time, I had a band, but it was always kind of like second. It was just kind of for fun. Then after college, you know, we started getting a lot of good dates, and I put out an album right after college on my own. And that's kind of when we were like, well, you know, I thought maybe I could do this for a career, because, you know, but I wanted to rodeo forever, too. And I was doing both for quite a while. And I was doing, I would say, average at both, you know. When I started playing music a lot, I wasn't riding broncs as good as I should have, and I probably wasn't playing as good as we should have, and, you know, my dad said, you know, just pick one thing you want to do and do it really good. So I made the decision to pick music just because I figured the longevity of it, I could play music a lot longer than I could rodeo. But I miss riding bucking horses. It was all I knew since, you know, I was a freshman in high school, all through college. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was my life, but I'm glad I chose music because it's, you know, it's like I said, it's taken a lot of work to get here, but it's really paying off. And like I also said, the longevity of our career, we can sing. Hell, you can sing till you're dead, I think. So, you can't ride broncs that long.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I went to school with Brody Kress, and watching his career, it's so impressive just since high school. So I think people who do rodeo, it's like it seems like it's just a passion and a little bit of an addiction, like in a good way. You just want to be back on it. I love horseback riding and just getting that like freedom and connecting with animals like that.
It's definitely a drug, you know, like I haven't been on a bronc in probably 8 or 10 years, but I still think about it all the time. I can't get it out of my head, but like, and guys like Brody that have excelled at that level, like, it's unbelievable. You know, Brody's just a hell of an athlete. Like, he's three-time state champion wrestler, won the average NFR 3 or 4 times. Like, I mean, and to ride at that level, and at any level in rodeo, really, like, it's once it's in your system, you never forget about it. Like, my dad won Cheyenne 1971 and rode forever. Not forever, but he rode a long time. He said that he still thinks about it all the time, too.
Yeah.
I think you ask any rodeo cowboy, like, it's never really out of your system. It's just
it gets in your brain.
Adrenaline rush of, like, being on bucking horses just will be with you forever.
Yeah. Well, and you hold the unique distinction up there with Chris LeDoux of having competed at CFD and also performed. How was that? Like, how did you feel when you like, you got that, and you joined the ranks of Chris LeDoux, who's like one of our national heroes here.
Right. He's like I said, Chris is the king of Wyoming, and always will be. And to have any stat with Chris's name on it for me is really special. But, you know, when I was riding broncs, like I said, I never dreamed of playing the main stage of Cheyenne. You know, at that point in time, me and my brothers were riding Bronx, and we rode a Cheyenne, and, you know, figured we'd just do that. So, like, I mean, we would go to the night shows when we rode. I never thought I'd ever be on stage there. So, like, when it came all around and I kind of stopped rodeoing and started playing full-time, then we finally got to play the main stage, it was unbelievable. I'm like, I can't believe I went from the Buck and Chutes out to Millie Arena on the stage. And one of the committee members was the one that told me that, like, you know, you and Chris, that you were the only two to ever, like, play here and ride here. It's like, which makes sense, you know. There's not a lot of country music artists that have rodeoed at a high enough level to, like, you know, ride at Cheyenne. And there's not a lot of rodeo athletes that have excelled in music. So, like, it's just, like, typically those two things don't overlap. But, you know, and being from such a small state, you know, Chris is, anytime you rode Bronx and played guitar, you get compared to Chris because, like, there was only one and he's the king. So, like, we get lumped in with Chris a lot, which I love. But, you know, I always tell people, I love being in the talking point with Chris Ledoux. He's one of my heroes, but there'll only be ever one Chris Ledoux, you know, and he's will forever be the king of Wyoming. Yeah. So we definitely looked up to Chris and his career in rodeo and music my whole life.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely paving your own legacy too, though. Like, your music, it reaches people here in a different way than Chris's. And
yeah, for sure. That's what I've always told people. Like, I looked up to Chris my whole life. I still do. But, like, I never wanted to be Chris. I wanted, you know, to do my own thing and be my own person, you know, in music and in rodeo and just as a personality from Wyoming. But, you know, it's fun to see what he did. But it's also been a really fun journey to carve our own path with Wyoming roots, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. So speaking of Wyoming roots, that was a good segue into my next question. So again, Moorcroft up north, but you also spent and still spend a lot of time in Laramie. One of my favorite cover arts is your Third Street album. Yeah. And if I walk by that, I'm like, oh my gosh, all the time. So can you just share a little bit about your love for Laramie and just how the city kind of just made its way into your heart?
You know, Laramie is such a unique town, you know. I mean, like, it's a super eclectic town. You know, there's cowboys and there's, you know, people from that go to college kids and there's, you know, a lot of construction workers. I mean, it's just full of a lot of people in town. And there's always something to do, you know, that it's got a good downtown area. There's lots of great bars and restaurants. Like, it's super fun to go on the road, but then come back and you know, go enjoy a beer on Sundays at, you know, or somewhere. It's like, you can see all your friends and see the people we grew up with. So, yeah, I mean, Laramie's special. And people are always like, why do you live in Laramie? It's so cold and windy. I'm like, wow. We're used to it, you know, the cold and the wind keeps the tourists out. So, we, you know, if you're used to it, it ain't that bad. But, you know, just Laramie's one of those cool places in Wyoming, which there's a lot of them, you know. But I guess just because I went to college there so long and then I bought my house there and some of the other band members and crew guys still live there. So it's a good place to base out of. You know, you're 2 hours from Denver. You're right on I-80, so, you know, we're 12 hours from Vegas, you know, 12 hours from the Midwest, usually where we play a lot. So you're kind of central. It's a pretty good place to base out of. And I just, there's something special about Laramie, too.
Yeah. All right. Favorite Laramie restaurant?
Oh, that's tough. I would say Andale Rapido. I love Mexican food. So I think that's, you know, on the road, we eat Mexican food all the time, but I still think Andale Rapido is the best Mexican food we eat anywhere. So I probably eat there more than I should 2 or 3 times a week when I'm home and they know what I order when I come.
Right, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love when I go up to Laramie because I get to eat, like, I love the library's tater tots. I know it's a silly thing.
I know.
So good. The little tater tots.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, and so many breweries to try, too. I still have not been to Bonds. It's on my list.
Yeah, I'm friends with Jay Bonds, the guy that owns it. It's a great brewery, and, you know, it was really, you know, them putting that downtown, you know, any business that opens downtown in Laramie, I'm always for. Like, it's, you know, there's not a lot of towns, I would say, in Wyoming that have the downtown life that Laramie does. You know, it has mm-hmm. like bars, restaurants, outside places to eat, coffee shops. I mean, they have everything. You know, Casper's a great town, but I would say Laramie's downtown is a little better at this point, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jackson's nice, but Jackson doesn't really feel like Wyoming anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful and all, but so, like, that's why Laramie's super unique. It has this cool downtown feel that feels old school, and you can do about anything down there.
Oh, yeah. I love shopping down there. So many unique shops.
Yeah.
It's vibrant. That's the word I would use. It's a vibrant downtown.
Yeah.
And you'll be in downtown Laramie on the 29th, won't you?
Yep. We'll be back with Plants Cowboy again, you know, kind of where we cut our teeth playing all those years in college. We play once a year. Or, well, we try to play the Cowboy twice a year, once during football season and once in the spring. So,
and I've always wondered, and I'll be the first to admit, I did not go to the University of Wyoming. I grew up here, but I know. I'm always like, oh, I missed out. But I do not know the origins of the White Trash Bash. Can you tell me how that started?
Sure. Yeah, everybody, you know, like, once again, the times have changed, you know, like, everything's so politically correct that sometimes you're like, what is that? Like, well, it's nothing bad, you know. So basically about 10 years ago, my band, we always dress up for Halloween. And so we love mm-hmm. dressing up. It's a fun night of the year, and we take it very serious. We like dressing up. We thought, you know, it'd be really fun to dress up a couple times a year. So, like, well, what if we do a Halloween, which is 6 months away from Halloween? So, like, which would be around April. We're like, all right. So, let's throw a party, a theme party. We'll play at the Cowboy. We're like, well, what should we do? You know, you can do toga parties. You can do all these
certain
things. We thought of White Trash Bash because, like, it's kind of an easy thing to dress up for. I mean, you don't have to think too hard. People can throw a mullet wig on and cut your sleeves off, throw some fake tattoos on or whatever. Wear shorts. I mean, you can literally dress any way you want for the White Trash Bash. Like, all right, this is an easy theme party. First year was real good. Second year better. And this thing's kind of snowballed.
It's blown up.
Yeah. And so, like, we've even taken it to Deadwood. We play it. We usually do it in October in Deadwood, too, just because, like, it's almost a freedom for people to dress up the way that they don't care. You're like, hey, man, I can wear whatever. Maybe you cut a mohawk that night or whatever. There's literally no rules to dress up for. But like I said, you know, Instagram and Facebook don't like us calling it White Trash Bash anymore with the way the world is. But it's literally nothing racist or anything involved in that. It's just, you know, I consider myself a little white trash, so I mean, we're kind of clowning ourselves, but it's just a fun let loose party where people can get wild, and it's always fun to see all the way people dress, the costumes, how they do it. It never surprises me what people wear. Like it's super fun and it's just wild, and there's, you know, we have it in Deadwood and it's really fun, but where it started in Laramie is still the best place we have it because people really cut loose.
Yeah, I've seen, people call it, like, the best party of the spring in Laramie, and it's just, it's got a special place there, and I'll be the first to admit, I have a friend who always throws themed Thanksgiving parties, like, she did White Trash Bash one year, it was in Fort Collins, but, like, he had, like, gnomes that were, like, in overalls all over, and, like, it was, one of them was roasting, like, a turkey and stuff, it was crazy. But it was fun. You cut loose. And
people like to dress up, and this gives us Halloween and White Trash Bash. We can dress up twice a year and get creative. It's a blast. You know, we can't wait next week. And it was supposed to be this weekend, but the offer came in, so we had to move it 1 week, which worked out good. It landed on the same weekend as Laramie's University of Wyoming's College Rodeo. So, like, College Rodeo's in town. We're playing at the Cowboy for the White Trash Bash. So, I mean, it's going to be pretty wild next weekend, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be crazy. I'm sad I'm missing it. I have to go out to the East Coast for a week, and I'm like, well, dang it.
Dang it. I know. Well, you should reschedule. You're going to miss out.
Oh, man. I wish. Yeah, no. I'll be there next year, though. It's in my – and as soon as that date comes out, I'm like, this is, like, April now. Nothing touches it.
Yeah, well, cool. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And tickets are still on sale for the bash, right?
Yep, they're still on sale. I think on our website, if they go to ChanceyWilliams.com, I think they can get them off our website.
Cool. Any hints on what you might be playing?
At the White Trash Bash?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's funny is, like, when we were a cover band, you know, we'd play a lot of covers and stuff, so we, you know, we'd throw a lot of party songs in. Now we do mostly all songs I wrote, so we still do our 90-minute show as we would playing anywhere. We're just dressed up different. And we'll probably throw in a few of the old party songs that we used to do, you know, because the crowd likes us to get wild and they like those stuff. So we kind of wing it on the night of the bash. So we'll see. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, are you bringing a mullet again? I love the
I don't know. I have something in mind this year I come up with. I can't let out of the bag yet, but I think I have a... Because we've done it so many years, it's hard to outdo what you dressed up last year. I've copied years a couple times, but I think I got a good one this year if it works out. When I get back to Nashville this week or next week, I gotta put it all together. But I think it's gonna be fun.
You're gonna have to like post a picture on Instagram or something so I can like whiz vicariously through your social media.
We will. We always have somebody come take a bunch of pictures because it's like it's great memories to. For everybody to look back on and think, man, that was a great costume.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people who are already excited about it, so I'm sure you guys are going to have a huge crowd again.
Yeah, we always tell people, you know, be sure to get tickets early because it usually sells out. So, I mean, it's usually typical about Saturday, about noon, people will be texting like, hey, man, I didn't get tickets. I'm like, this has been on sale for like 5 months. I'm like, hey, I don't know what to tell you. It's sold out.
I won't tell you. Yeah. There's only so many people we can fit in there.
I know. I'm like, hey, I told you to buy tickets, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, can we expect to see you down at Cheyenne for 2 days this year for any of the just wandering around the rodeo or grabbing a funnel cake?
Well, I think we're playing out at the Outlaw the first Saturday this year.
Ooh.
You know, last year we got to open for Dirks on the main stage, which was one of my best memories ever. But so, you know, typically we don't play the main stage every year. So we hope, you know, maybe next year we'll be back on the main stage, but we just like to be in town for CFD because we love it so much. And so we're playing the Outlaw the first Saturday for a concert out there. It'll be really fun.
Yeah. And I've heard the Outlaw is probably one of our best venues in like Southeast Wyoming. People just love going there and they get such unique shows. So actually the Lincoln, I don't know if you heard the Ice Cube performed at the Lincoln Theater.
I heard that. I wasn't in town. I was going to come over to that because I was like, hey, I just want to see that, you know.
Oh,
but
man.
We were out of town together. But, you know, Cheyenne does a good job of bringing acts in. And, you know, so does Laramie. Wyoming's great for the arts, you know, which people probably don't necessarily put the two together. But they do a good job bringing concerts through, which, you know, is we're all for.
Yeah, no. It's really opening up, too. There's more every year.
Yeah.
So I have one last question for you, and then you can just tell me whatever you want, or we can say adios.
Okay.
Okay, so if you could have a duet with any country music star, past or present, who would it be?
Man, that's a tough one. I would probably have to say, I would probably say George Strait.
Oh, yeah, king of country music.
Yeah, that would be a dream come true. My dream is to someday, if it ever, like, I think my favorite show lineup ever would be opening for George Strait at Cheyenne.
Oh, man.
It would be my dream concert.
I think that would probably be the, like, most record-breaking concert ever. I think it might beat out Garth Brooks coming back.
Well, we would hope so. Yeah, I mean, I've always been such a big George Strait fan just because he's a cowboy and he's the king of country music, but and I would play with George anywhere in the world for sure, but like playing with George at Cheyenne, just because Cheyenne's so special to me, you know, where Dad won Cheyenne and we rode there and then we played there a lot. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where, I think me and George at Cheyenne would be my dream concert.
I mean, I think that'd be a dream for also Wyoming.
Yeah, you know, and last year was super special when Dirks, you know, before I went on stage, Dirks was like, hey, you want to sing one tonight? I said, yeah, man. I was thinking we'd sing one of Dirks' songs. And he's like, what if we sing Still Make Cheyenne?
Ugh.
Which I got super nervous. You know, I'd never really sang that song. I mean, I knew it in my head, but I'd never learned it, never worked it up. So I went back to my bus and ran through it a bunch and was super nervous, but you know, I was singing a song at Cheyenne about Cheyenne. This is a George Strait song with Dierks Bentley. I'm like, I don't know if it gets much cooler than this, you know. And it was a super special moment for me being, for, just because of my love for Cheyenne Frontier Days, singing a song by George Strait in Cheyenne about Cheyenne with Dierks Bentley. I'm like, I don't know. It's like, is this a dream or something?
It certainly sounds like one.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's just a cool idea, and maybe one day that'd probably be a dream come true for everyone in Wyoming. Even just to have George back and then have someone from Wyoming on stage with him. So
I know. I might retire after that. It might be my last year of voting for George Strait at Cheyenne. I don't know.
Can't top it.
I know. I was like, I can't get any bigger than that.
Well, those are all the questions I had for you, but is there anything else you'd like to just shout out to Laramie and our Wyoming listeners?
I would just say, you know, I mean, like, I was thinking about what I'm going to say at the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday, you know, and like, I got to credit, you know, Wyoming, especially, and the people from the West for getting us there, you know. I mean, like I said, we've worked really hard to get there, but the reason we've been successful out West and in Wyoming is just the people from Wyoming, you know, and like our fans have believed in us this long. So, like, to me, it's almost like they get to play it with us, you know, because, like, they know that they helped us get there. And we wouldn't be playing the Grand Ole Opry if it wasn't for the great state of Wyoming. You know, we're a unique band from a unique state that, you know, the state has supported us forever and still do. Like, I mean, our shows in Wyoming are always so great. And it's, I don't even call them fans. It's just mostly friends. Like, everybody in the crowd, I feel like I know everybody when I play in Wyoming. And so, like, just want to say thanks to all the people from Wyoming that have supported us all these years. And, you know, we, like I said, we love representing them everywhere we go in the U.S. It don't matter where we play. We tell people that we're from Wyoming, and we take it upon ourselves to represent the state in the best way we can anywhere we go. So I just want to tell everybody thanks.
Well, I think I speak for the state of Wyoming when I say thank you for representing us.
Well, I appreciate that.